Sorry. Yeah, continue.
We good? Should I go?
Loud and clear. Oh, please be near as our praises rise. May your presence fall in heaven. Heaven fall down in spirit. Like the wind, fill up this place, we welcome you in. Come Jesus, come, come like the rain, open the sky, show us your face. Oh Lord, we wait. As our praises rise, may your presence fall in heaven. Heaven fall down in spirit. Spirit pour out on us all now. Heaven fall.
Crying out in desperation.
We're crying out in desperation, waiting now in expectation. Crying out in desperation for you. And we're crying out in desperation, waiting now in expectation. Crying out in desperation for you.
Let's keep on singing that out.
And we're crying out in desperation, waiting now in expectation. Crying out in desperation for you. One more time, crying out. And we're crying out in desperation, waiting now in expectation. We're crying out in desperation for you. And heaven, heaven fall down. Desperation, waiting now in expectation. We're crying out desperation for you. God, we're crying out in desperation, waiting now in expectation. We're crying out in desperation for you. Thank you. You're the word we want to me. Oh, Jesus, shine through all the praises that we sing. Come and let your presence fill our praise, fill our praise. Come and let your presence fill this place. Come and let your presence fill our praise, fill our praise. Come and let your presence fill this place. For you are the world we want to meet. Jesus, shine through all the praises that we sing. And we have come to give you highest praise, highest praise. We have come to love you in this place. We have come to give you highest praise, highest praise. We have come to love you in this place. For you are the one we want to meet. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, shine through the praises that we sing. For you, oh God, for you, Jesus, are the one we want to meet. Oh Jesus, shine through all the praises that we say. Cause it's all for you. Here we are, here we are. God, it's all for you, Jesus. Here we are, here we are. It's all for you, Jesus. It's all for you, everything. Here we are, here we are. God, it's all for you. Here we are, here we are. We love you. We love you, Lord. One we came here for. We love you. We love you, Lord. You're the one our hearts adore. We love you. We love you, Lord. You're the one we came here for. Here we are. for the one we came here for. We love you, oh, we love you, Lord. 'Cause it's all for you, Jesus. Here we are, here we are. It's all for you, everything. Here we are, here we are, Jesus. It's all for you. Here we are, here we are. I would say no other name but yours, name but yours. Full of faith and wonder, I would say no other name but yours, name but yours. Full of faith and wonder, I would say no other.
Every name above everything, Lord God, we worship you. Our lives are not our own, but they are yours, God. We give you all glory. We give you all praise, God. We give you all honor because you're so worthy. You're so deserving of our all, of our everything. When we're surrounded by your presence, God, everything changes, God. Everything changes, God. Lord God, with faith and wonder, we will sing your name, Jesus, and only your name, Jesus, God, because you're the only one worthy, God. You're the only one deserving. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do, Lord God. We thank you that there will be chains breaking. There will be hearts awakening to you, God. We completely believe and have faith that you will do what you want to do. So we give you room to move, Lord God. We want you to move. We want none of us, Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing once again and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Robin. Thank you. Anselm, if you can unmute yourself, please, that would be great. Praise God. Praise God. Thanks for that amazing time. Thank you for that amazing time of worship. You know, we're praying and asking God for direction. We're asking Him for guidance in this time, in this season, because as I mentioned a few minutes ago before we began the worship time, we want to do things according to God's heart, to keep everyone safe, to keep everyone, protected. We don't want anyone to get harmed in any way, shape, or form. And so we want to do the right thing according to God's heart. So please pray with us, because we need that wisdom from above. Okay. And so with that, Asama is going to be bringing the word in today, and it's all yours, sir.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me? Oh, good. Okay. All right. So I sent a message right now to Chelsea or Justin to see if she can read for me, but maybe they didn't get the message. So I'm going to read for you all. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to or open the app to Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to read just a few verses. And then we all know the rest of the story, but I just want to read a few verses for you. It's Daniel 3, starting with verse 13. Ferocious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king at the time of Babylon, summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of the gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zephyr, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" You might want to write that down. "Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. We're not accused of anything. We did not commit a crime here. We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it." Let's all say it one more time, even if you are muted. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us, and He will deliver us. Say this with me, and He will deliver us. Not just from the furnace, from your majesty's hand. So in case, after we are delivered from the furnace, you have something else for us. God will deliver us from the furnace and from whatever it is you have for us. So bring it. But even if He does not, we want you to know, your majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. But even if He does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Lord Jesus, we come before you today. We thank you because there is no other name. There is no other name that we should worship. There is no other name we should pray to. There is no other name that we should come closer and adore, Lord, other than your name. Lord, we put your name over everything today. We put your name over all the situations, all the decisions, all the thoughts, all the weapons formed against us. We put your name over everything. And we thank you because you will deliver us. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this will be, just to let you guys know, this will be probably the longest introduction that I've ever had. But I have to give you an introduction to this before we get to this portion, before we get into it. I know that we want to go straight into, you know, these wonderful believers being thrown into the fire and God walking with them in the fire, and we will get there. But I have to give you some background before we get there. Number one, to show you that it's a process, as we discussed a couple of weeks ago, that it's a process. Obedience and following God is a process, and we should be okay with that. And number two, to show you the truth and the facts behind what was happening. So this is not the first time that these young men were delivered from the king's wrath. Number one, when the king, okay, went to Judea and captured people and burned things and killed people, and King Nebuchadnezzar, he chose certain people. He wanted to choose the royalty blood, the people who are from noble background. He chose certain people to come to his kingdom to learn, to study, to eat his food, so he can use them in the future. Okay, so these people were brought into his city, his palace, so they can learn, very much getting a scholarship, a free scholarship to come and learn all the wisdom and science and math and everything that they had to offer. And when they got there, they were assigned to eat the same food, to drink, not just them and many other young men. You know, it was like a college, it was like a university, a prep school, if you will not call it that. It's a preparation school. So instead, they decided, we're not going to eat this food because this food was sacrificed to the gods. We're not going to drink. We're not going to party. We're not going to do any of that. We're just going to have vegetables. And because they purposed in their heart, Daniel and his friends, that they're going to do that, God gave them favor, and they became more successful than anyone else with them in that class. So first, they were saved from death or saved from, you know, anything else that could happen to them. And instead, they were brought to this university of King Nebuchadnezzar so they can be used later on. Number two, they decided not to live the life that he decided for them. And instead, they still kept God in their hearts, and that they were rewarded and became more successful than anyone else in their class. And God gave them favor into like the dean of the university and the people that we were going with. Number three, they were saved because now they were part of the councils of the wise men or the people who advised the king. In chapter two, we hear about this dream that the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, had, okay? And he summoned all of his wise men, all the people that know about witchcraft, all the people that know about dreams and visions and all of that, and all the wise men, and he wanted to know the meaning of the dream, okay? But he had a tricky thing, and he had a trick to it. He said, I'm not going to give you the dream. You will give me the dream and translate or interpret the dream for me. Okay? And all of his wise men said, what are you asking? You know, no one has ever asked that. You know, usually when someone has a dream or a vision, you tell us the dream or the vision and we try to give you the interpretation, just like what happened with Pharaoh, you know, and Joseph and all of that. But right here, King Nebuchadnezzar had, you know, he had a doubt that he's just going to give them the dream and they're going to say whatever. You know, they can say whatever. He doesn't know. No one knows. So they can, you know, escape with their lives. But he decided to play this trick. He said, if you're wise men, if you know the future, if you know these things, then you give me, you tell me the dream and you tell me the interpretation. Okay? And when they failed, he decided that he was going to kill all of them, all of his counselors, including Daniel and these three young men. Okay, so you can read that in chapter 2. And then Daniel heard what was going on, and he went to the to like the prime minister or whatever you want to call it, one of the close people to the king, and said, just give me time. Give me time, and I will come with an answer for you. And Daniel went and told Meshach and the other two men about what was happening. And he urged them, the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 18, he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. He wanted God to intervene, to tell them what the dream is, what the vision is, and to give them the answer for it. And sure enough, God did speak to Daniel about the king's dream and the translation of that dream. And when that happened, Daniel said these words, and I'm going to read it to you, and if you want to highlight it or if you want to write it down, that will be great. And then when Daniel had a vision, he praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise to be the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his." When we need wisdom, who do we call? God. When we need power to say no, or we need power to stand strong, who do we call? God. He changes times and seasons. Listen, the time that we are going through, or the time you're going through, or the season, whether it's a difficult season or a good season, whatever it is, God is in control. He knows the exact timing for your season and in your situation. So instead of complaining, instead of looking for something from someone, just know and trust that God has set up this time and season for a reason. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. Those kings, those who are in authority, those people are who are in your life and in my life that we feel like they are in control, trust me, they are not, because God is in control. Amen? Now, what is that dream? I have to tell you what the dream is, because that will all prepare us for the main message. The dream that the king had was that he saw a statue. And pay attention to this, please. The statue had a golden head, okay, or a head made out of gold, and then a chest and arms made out of silver, and then the waist and the thighs were made out of bronze, and the legs and feet were made out of iron, but the toes and the feet had a little bit of clay mixed up with it, okay? That's the dream that the king had. Why am I sharing all of this? It's going to connect, I promise. And then Daniel explains that dream to the king, telling him, okay, the head is that Babylonian empire. And after that empire is done or gone, there comes another empire. The empire of the Farsi, you know, the Persian Empire, okay? And that's the chest and the arms. It's not as great as the gold. Remember, it's gold, silver. And then there comes another, you know, a third empire, and that's the Greek Empire, and that's the bronze and thighs empire. And then finally comes the empire that very much smashes everything, the one that's made out of iron, and that's the Roman Empire, okay? And he says that last empire will destroy all the other empires. It will smash it, that nothing can stand against it. But there is one thing. That empire was divided. Some of it was iron that no one can defeat, and others had some clay. And the clay, if you know, easily broken. It's not as valuable as the gold or silver or bronze, or it's not strong as the iron. It will be easily broken. Okay? And then he tells them this. In Daniel chapter 2, in the time of those kings, and I'm reading this from the Bible. So in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. This is during that last empire, okay? The one with iron and clay. During that in the times of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never, ever be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. So no one, the God of heaven, will establish a new kingdom. He will establish a new kingdom that no one can destroy. And no one will follow that kingdom. This is it. This is the kingdom that will last forever. Nor it will be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to the end. But it will itself endure forever. Say amen. It will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain. The rock that was cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The rock came during that Roman Empire and established a new kingdom. Our God and Savior came during that time and established a new kingdom. That kingdom we are living in, that kingdom cannot be shaken. That kingdom cannot be destroyed. That kingdom will last forever, that no other kingdom will follow. In Romans 14, 11, it says, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will acknowledge God." That kingdom will be acknowledged by everyone. And in Acts 3:6, Peter looks at the man who is in need and asking for something to help him. And he said, "My friend, the age of silver and gold is completely gone. What you need right now is a new currency. The new currency that I have for you that's valid in this new kingdom, that new currency is the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what I will give you." Say amen. This is the new currency in the new kingdom. I don't have it. I don't have what you're looking for because they're done. They didn't work. I was just sharing with Bina. I was reading the story of the rich young ruler, you know, who came to Jesus and wanted to inherit inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I said to her, and we were discussing, and I said, "This was one of the poorest people that I've ever seen." You know why? Because his currency, all the money in the world that he had, could not and did not allow him to go into the kingdom of heaven. He was so poor. He was so poor, but he thought he was rich. The new kingdom is already set up. Now we can go into our message. Okay? How long did I take for that? Oh, gosh. Okay, so the king, giving what he just heard, okay, gold head, that's his, right? The Babylonian Empire, and then the silver, and then the, you know, and then the bronze and the iron and all of that. He goes in chapter 3 and builds a statue of all gold from head to toe. You tell me that my empire is just from here to here? My empire is going to go from head to toe. There will be no other empires. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to ask everyone. I'm not going to make the mistake that the Romans will make in the future of division. Everyone will be united. Everyone will come and worship. Everyone will come and be united under my God, under my statue. And when you hear the trumpets or the music or whatever it is, everyone will be worshiping me. And then the Babylon or that city will be the center of unity. We have, and then he gives a command. The command, we will see it in Daniel chapter 3, verse 4. When the herald loudly proclaimed, listen to this, "Nations and people of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the sitar, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever doesn't worship it will immediately be thrown into fire. So the king comes up with a decree or the law or a law. First, he wants to change that image that he saw. He wants to change God's will. He wants to change what he just heard. Nope, I am not limited for a period of time. No, I am all the time. My kingdom will last all the time. Remember the man who his field and his houses became very, very prosperous. And he said, oh, my soul, just eat, drink, be merry, you know, build new storage. He kept making plans and plans and plans as if there is no end to his life. But that night, his life ended. There is a time King Nebuchadnezzar did not want to believe that his time is limited. And that's the same thing that the king of this universe is trying, Satan, the enemy, trying to convince us that his time is not limited. But today, in Jesus' name, you tell him that his time is limited. And we are almost in the last seconds of his time, where his time is completely going to be gone and the new kingdom will last forever. The enemy has deployed all of his instruments. And when I was reading this morning, why not just one trumpet? Like, why not just the horn or one? But he said, when you hear all kinds of instruments, because I don't know what will speak to you. I don't know what kind of instrument will have the effect that I want on you. Is that instrument fear? Is that instrument worry? Is that instrument, I don't know, like financial problems? Is that instrument health problems? What instrument that's going to get you? So since I don't know, I'm going to deploy all of my instruments. So the moment I send them to you, if it's a virus, if it's a big disease, if it's a small disease, if it's family problems, if it's teenagers behaving, whatever it is, once I deploy those instruments in your life, you must bow down and worship me. But today, in Jesus' name, we're going to say, your time is limited. I am not bowing down. And if you want to throw me in the furnace, go ahead, because God will be delivering us. Amen? God will be delivering us. Then he builds a huge statue that's made out of gold. He wants you and I to understand one thing and one thing only, that he has the value. That he only has the value of this life. That if you want to be valuable, you must worship the values that he set up before you. That if you want to live, you must bow down to the values that this world has installed in front of us in every direction that we look. Then he wants to say that your only way of salvation is what? Is to worship me. If you are looking for salvation, if you're looking for life, because guess what happens if you don't worship me? You'll be thrown into the fire. It's completely the opposite. It's completely the opposite of what God is promising us. Those who follow God will live forever with him, will be in eternity with him. But the enemy and those who follow him will be thrown into the furnace or the fire. Then he comes with this plan. And let me ask you, and ask myself, I had to make a list today. What is the statue that the enemy is always, you know, shining in my life and saying, you must worship this. You must worship this for salvation. You must worship this to be happy. You must worship this to have safety. What is the instrument he is using to trigger and to push those buttons that you have or that I have? What is he using for us to finally break and bow down. We need to bring that before God and say, God, search me. God, test me. See the weak points in my life. I bring them before you. I can't get rid of them. Things that happened to me when I was young, things that I learned when I was young, things that I learned from the environment and the culture and everything around me, and it's been building without even me seeing it. What is it that triggers me and puts fear or puts excitement or puts whatever it is that makes me fall and worship? Then there was another command. So that was Nebuchadnezzar's command. You hear the music, whatever instrument, and then you bow down. I'm going to read to you from verse 12. But there are some Jews, so the people in government came to the king and said, wait a second, there are people here that are not listening. There are people that are called Christians right now. They're not freaking out. They hear the news. They hear CNN and Fox and NBC and all of that stuff. And for some reason, they're not freaking out. For some reason, they're meeting Sundays and Wednesdays. For some reason, they're still worshiping and reading the word. For some reason, I gave them disease. I gave them brokenness. I gave them financial problems. I gave them this and this and this and this. And for some reason, they're not bowing down. For some reason, they're still meeting and smiling. One of them is smiling right now. For some reason, it's not working with them. So let's put the focus. Listen, when we say no, when we don't bow down, this is not the end of the war. This is the beginning of the war. This is the beginning of the war. Listen, the other advisors went to the king and said, but there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who paid no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your God nor worship the image of gold you have set up. The war just started. The war with the enemy just started. And Jesus told us, I have told you these things that in me you may have peace. You will have trouble in this world. You will have trouble. You will have fights. But take good heart, or take heart. I have overcome the world. When you go hand to hand with Jesus, just like the world rejected him, they will reject you because you're in the same place with him. As a matter of fact, Jesus said exactly that in John 15:18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that they hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. So if you just worship that statue of gold, those other advisors are not going to go tell on you. If you just do what the world is telling you to do, no one is going to tell on you. But our Lord and Savior, our High Priest, he was tempted in everything, just like us, except one thing. He did not sin. When he was tempted, when the testing came, when the furnace of fire was being heated up, when the pressure was on, he did not crack under that pressure. He did not choose to sin to make it to the other side. He did not choose to turn anything into anything so he can feed himself. He did not choose to make a show for himself during the holidays, jump out of the temple so people can believe in you. He did not choose to take all the nations and all the kingdoms and all the empires with one bow down to the enemy. He did not choose any of that. When they wanted to anoint him as a king, he walked away from them. That's not my mission. For 30 years, he knew exactly who he was and what he is capable of doing. However, he waited on God's timing. Why didn't you start your ministry at 20, 25, 28? No, I'm waiting for God's timing. Listen, your fight just got started. But here comes the king. When he sees that, okay, these people are stubborn. These people are not stopping Sundays. These people, this church that was, you know, it's a good church, it's good people, you know, and now we're going to shut them down. Now they're not going to meet on Wednesdays. Now they're not going to meet on Sundays. It seems like they're growing. It seems like they're having more fun. It seems like they're enjoying one another even more. It seems like they're appreciating more. Okay, so let's settle this. Let's try to find a middle ground. Okay, is it true that you're really happy? Is it true that you're not worshiping my God? I'm not asking for much. Just, you know, let's just worship my God, bow down to the statue. That's all I want from you. Because if you don't, my wrath will come against you. The enemy or the king comes to them, said, is it true that you didn't worship my God? And he's trying to reconcile and remind them, there are no gods here. Who can save you? Who can help you? He says these exact words, then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? There will be always, always away from us, away for us to come back or to back down from our decisions. The enemy will always open doors for us to backtrack. Even if we start strong, but it doesn't matter how we start, what matters is how we finish. Do you know that the Romans back in the day, they only crucified or whipped someone like on his back? And Jesus got both. Both. And every time, I feel like every time on his back, when they are whipping him with that horrible, horrible instrument that they had, that was literally cutting his flesh, I can hear the enemy saying, are you sure you want to go through this? Are you sure you want to go through with this? Are you sure you want to die for that same person that's literally ripping off your back? Are you sure you want to die for him? Are you sure he's worthy? Are you sure these are the people that you want to die for? Are you sure you want to follow the will of God? You've prayed, you've asked, and the enemy keeps sending doubts and doubts and doubts, telling you to give up, telling you that this is not worth it. You might as well bow down right now. Listen to this. Why don't we just bow down, but not really worship in our heart? What if we just bow down the one time and then go back and do whatever we want to do? But God put that king in authority, and we should obey authority. How about it's the law of the land, and we must obey the law of the land? What if we die and someone else takes our job and we lose the influence, all of these political answers that we can come up with, that the enemy tries to throw at us, so we can finally crack down and bow down to him? But those men were not fooled. Those men had the power of God, the presence of God in their life. They said, we don't need to discuss this. I love that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine three foreigner boys? The king is talking to them, trying to get them a way out of this. And they look at him and say, we don't need to discuss this. We're not going to go through this. We're done. Save your politics to yourself. Save your intelligence to yourself. Save it to yourself. We are done in that decision. We are only worshiping God and only God. And if you want to throw us in the fire, in the furnace, go ahead. Go ahead, let's go. There will be a price to pay. If we are thrown in the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. Say amen. That while we are in the fiery furnace right now, the blazing furnace, God is delivering us right now. I've been praying all morning for you and your family. Just like the same prayer I prayed for myself and my family and my brothers and sisters and the people that are close to me, I am praying that same prayer for you, that during this blazing furnace we are living in, during the next blazing furnace, because this is not the last one, that during the next blazing furnace, that God will give you the confidence and trust that He will deliver you. Say amen. He will deliver you. And He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. We respect you. We respect who you are, but we're not going to bow down to you. This is the unshakable faith that God will deliver us. In Isaiah 43, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk, do you remember anyone who walked through water before and the water didn't cover them? Yes, does that sound familiar to you? And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Go ahead. Make that fire as strong as you want. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Your Savior. So when the king, when King Nebuchadnezzar says, who can rescue you from me? When the enemy comes to tell you, there is no way out. What is your way out? How are you going to get out of this? You tell him, the Lord my Savior will find a way. You tell him, the Lord my Savior already had a way. You tell him that the Lord my Savior is not short of any miracles. We're listening to the song, He does not run out of miracles. When the questions keep coming to you, how are you going to pay your mortgage? How are you going to pay for this? How are you going to pay for that? How is that disease going to go away? How is that virus is going to go away? How is the economy going to get back? How is this? You tell him, I have the Lord my Savior. He will deliver me. In Psalm 27, it says, the Lord, we know this part here very well, that says, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks against me, even then I will be confident. It's a beautiful verse, but you know why it's beautiful? Because if you go back to the first verse that says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. When the Lord is my light and my salvation, let the enemy gather all of his armies. Let the enemy gather all of his weapons. Let the enemy use all of his instruments. Let him. I will be confident. One morning, Gehazi, a servant of Elisha, woke up and saw that king of Aram surrounding with like a 50,000 men army, surrounding one man, actually two, one and his servant. And Elisha looks and says something that's really amazing. He says, Lord, I pray that you would open his eyes, not to show us that what we have with us is more than what they have. No, he said, open his eyes that he would see what we have with us is more than what they have with them. Because the fight, Elisha knows, the fight isn't between Elijah and the 50,000 men. The fight is between Elijah and a whole kingdom of the darkness. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is not the bill, the virus, the disease, whatever it is. That's not your enemy. That's a very small picture, very small manifestation of what the enemy has for you in destruction. But what you have with you, what I have with me, is way more than the enemy has against us. One thing they also didn't do, their faith didn't shake. Their trust in God did not fade. They also didn't go and ask Daniel for help. Did you notice that? They did not go ask Daniel. Even though Daniel had a big position, they did not ask for help from Daniel. That's their buddy. That's their friend. They partnered together in a mission before, but they did not ask for help. Because where would I find my help? I look up to the mountains, and this is where my help comes from. My brothers and sisters, it's good that we pray with one another and for each other. But we must know and we must understand that our help is not going to come from man. The help that we need in this country during this time, the help that we need for our world right now, is not going to come from man. It's only going to come from God. Okay. It's 12 o'clock right now, and I'm probably half the way through. Can I take 10 more minutes, or are you guys done? And be honest, I could seriously end right now, and we could pray, and I wouldn't be offended. And I'm very sorry that I'm taking longer. So if you're okay, give me thumbs up. If not, I completely understand. All right. Except Pastor Mike. Okay. Oh, no. Here he goes. Your video is delayed. Okay. So the king's command was urgent. He got very upset. So get ready that you're going to have a tough week. Because you purposed in your heart, get ready that the enemy is going to be full of anger right now. You thought he was angry before? Watch what happens after Sunday. He's going to be full of anger. However, he is limited. He is contained. He cannot take one step without the authorization of our Lord and Savior. And he goes, all right, I want you to tie them down. And I can feel them as they're being tied down, you know, and not that, like, okay, why would they tie them down? Seriously, like, they're going to throw them in a furnace of fire. Okay, it's not like they're going to swim. I can understand that if they're going to throw them in a lake or something, but they just wanted them to know that you have no way out. The enemy is trying to convince us that he had the power to tie us down. All right, go ahead. And they're waiting for God to respond. They're waiting for God to intervene. They were tied down and they're bound, and they were thrown into the fire. And I thought, maybe God will do something before. Maybe God will just change the king's heart, just like he did in many stories before, that he would remind him of, these are the guys that prayed for you. These are the guys that, you know, helped you understand. These are the people that trusted and succeeded and been amazing to you. I'm trying to find a way for him to get this, that he's doing something wrong. But he decided to go through with it. And he chose the strongest soldiers that he has, the strongest soldiers he has, to tie them, to bound them, and to throw them in the fire. That those strong soldiers died while they're throwing those three men in the fire. And let me tell you, the soldiers that are appointed against your life right now, they're dead. The soldiers that the enemy has against you, all the generals, all the principalities, all those who are in authority against you from the kingdom of darkness, were all defeated and done on the cross. That fire is made for the enemy, not for you and not for me. And they throw him in the fire, and they look down, and he sees someone waiting for them. He sees that they're no longer three, that now they became four. That one person that's walking around with them looks like an angel, or looks like someone out of this world. And this is who is waiting for us. During this furnace that we're living in, during the furnace that you lived in, during the furnace that you're going to face again one day, all of these things, remember, when they were captured, they obeyed. When they were when they had the opportunity to eat and drink and party and learn just like everyone else, they obeyed. When the dream thing came about, they also obeyed and asked from God. And here is another example. When they are thrown in the fiery, in the blazing furnace, write this down if you want, or remember it. Every time you obey God, it's another opportunity for a miracle. Every time you choose God, it's another opportunity for a miracle. It's another opportunity for God to show what he can do in your life and my life. They walk, and then the king asks, was your God able to save you? Was your God that you trusted in able to save you? Let me read it for you. First, in verse 25, it says, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of God. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing, but I'm sure he didn't approach right away. I'm sure he took his time to approach, because that furnace was heated seven times more than the usual. That killed the strong soldiers. Can you imagine what it's going to do to the king, who's never used to this type of thing? So I'm sure it took him time. And during that time, while they're in the fire, while he's waiting for it to cool down, that's just more time between you and God, man. That's just some extra time that you and Jesus are hanging out. So when there is a wait for you to come out of the furnace, when it's taking a little bit longer, it's taking a little bit longer than you wanted, this is just an opportunity for you to extend your stay with God. In the furnace, can we just have that stay in Hawaii, or like, you know, maybe Paris or somewhere else? Like, I would love to hang out with Jesus in Hawaii. That would be amazing. You know, I don't want to hang out with Jesus but guess what? He turned that furnace into a walking place. It's a place that they're just walking around. They're chilling. Remember those disciples that walked with Jesus? And after he left, they were like, wasn't our heart burning in us? Like, there was something about him. There was something amazing that we felt when we walked with him. So then he comes and says, Nebuchadnezzar approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High, come out. Come here. They came out. The only thing they were missing is what? The robes that they had on their hands and feet. That furnace that he intended to burn you is only going to burn the chains on your life. Robin prayed earlier today that God would break the chains. And we always pray, God, break the chains, set us free. Would we take it if that option comes with a furnace? Would we accept it? Or do we just want to go to church, have an altar call, and someone lays hands on us and say, you are free, you are delivered? It could happen. There's nothing wrong with that. It happened and it happens. I am a living testimony that this did happen to me in church, in a church building. But it doesn't have to happen like that every time. Our ties, the things that are holding us down, the things that are keeping us from moving, the things that are keeping us from working, the things that are keeping us from walking with Jesus, sometimes need the blazing furnace to be cut off. They come out and says, and he saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was one hair of their heads was burned. Who promised that before? Did someone one day promise that not one piece of hair will fall down without the permission of your father? These are exact words in the Bible. Just like we talked about, if there's an army against me, just like there's, if I walk in fire, it's not going to hurt me. If I walk through waters, it's not going to sweep me. This, that smallest detail that God promised us, we see it here, life. And then he goes, praise to be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and rescued his servant. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve and worship any god except their own god. They trusted in him. I pray that our church, that every family, every soul, you and your family, your children, your neighbors, your cousins, everyone that you know would have that diploma today. The diploma of they trusted in him and defied the king's command, and they were willing to give up their lives, and he delivered them. Listen to this. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be burned piles of rubble, for no other God can save this way. Write this down. For no other God can save this way. For no other God can save this way. In chapter 1, the king's advisors saw that these Jewish boys that defied their orders, they saw that God gave them wisdom and ability and success. In chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar said, surely, said that to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal the mystery. And then here we are in chapter 3, for no God can save this way. Here is the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Here is the king who didn't know God, who didn't worship God. Now, if I go back to Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and ask him a question, was it worth it? Was it worth it to go through the blazing furnace? You walked with Jesus. He was waiting for you there. You received the diploma of those who trusted in God. And then God was known all among the nations that no God can save. And what did it cost you? They said, not even one piece of hair. What did it cost you? Not even one piece of hair. Ladies and gentlemen, church, brothers and sisters, family, whatever you want to call yourself to me, the furnace is always ready. And the enemy is always ready. And he's always deploying his soldiers. He's always deploying his instruments. Especially during this time. The instrument of fear, I have never seen anything like this before. I have never seen the panic or fear that I am seeing right now. We come from, my brother and I come from a city or a little village where the fundamentalists were killing Christians. They were just simply killing them and like hurting them and doing horrible, horrible things to them. And I still didn't see the fear that this country is going through right now. I still didn't see the panic that the whole world is going through right now. The enemy knows exactly what to deploy, when to deploy, who to deploy, and who to deploy it for to make you bow down, to make me bow down. But guess what? Our God will deliver. Just remember these words today. If you forget anything that I said, it's okay. Just remember this. And in Daniel 3, let me give you the exact verse so you can if you want to mark it in your Bible. It's chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17 and 18. They said, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us." If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from it. Say that with me. He will deliver us from it. He will deliver us from it and from your majesty's hand. So if it's not the blazing furnace, if you have another idea for us, go ahead. Because the same God who delivered us from the blazing furnace will deliver us from anything else. Remember, that gold statue is not all gold. Remember, that gold and silver will mean nothing. Remember that the one kingdom that will not be defeated, the one kingdom that cannot be crushed, the one kingdom that will last forever and ever is not made by man's hand. It's made out of the rock that came and established a new kingdom. Amen? All right, let's pray together. Let's pray together and just take these few minutes between us and God and bring every deployed instrument, every weapon that the enemy has formed against you in your life, whether you know it or you don't know it. There are so many weapons that the enemy has in our lives that we don't even know about. Just bring it before God and say, "He's done this, but I know you will deliver. I know you will heal me. I know you can save me. I know this is not the end for me because I am part of that new kingdom. I belong in the new kingdom. I don't belong in the kingdom of silver, gold, bronze, and iron. I belong to your kingdom, the kingdom that no one can destroy, the kingdom that no one can take away, the kingdom that will last forever, the kingdom that you paid the price for. Just remember that the enemy is going to gather all of his forces against you. But that doesn't matter because what we have with us is a lot stronger, a lot more than what we have against us. That no virus, no disease, no economic problems, no financial problems, no problems at home or at work, nothing God cannot deliver us from. He can deliver us and he will deliver us. Say that to yourself right now. Say that to your spouse. Say that to your children. Say that to your neighbor. Say that to everyone you know that God will deliver us. God will deliver us. Lord, we put all of our trust in you today. We put everything we have. We put our facts, our realities. We put all the lies that the enemy has that filled our hearts and our heads with. Lord, we bring it all before you today and say, you can deliver us. Lord, if it's your will for us to go through the furnace, we know you're going to be waiting there for us. We know it's going to be a walking time. We know that that waiting time, while we're waiting for us, for the king to call us or for the situation to end, for the experience to end, we know that this time is nothing but a beautiful walk with you. A beautiful walk where you're talking to us, teaching us, showing us wonders and amazing things that we have never, ever seen before. Lord, I pray for all of my brothers and sisters. I pray for my wife, my children, my brothers and sisters, nieces, nephew, everyone, my neighbors. I pray for your church, your Arise, Lord. I pray for a church. I pray for everyone that no one would walk with the statue of gold in front of their eyes, but with your promises filling their hearts, with your promises filling their hearts that you will deliver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Catches my fall. You are the friend that answers my call. You are my day. You are my night. You are my love. Of my life, you are the love I need, you are the air I breathe, you are my love, my life, always, forever. And I would lay down my life just to be by your side. You are my love, my life, always, forever. You are the grace that covers my sin. You're everything, the beginning and end. You have my soul, my heart and my mind. You have my love, all of my life. You are the love I need. You are the air I breathe. You are my love, my life, always, forever. And I would lay down my life just to be by your side. You are my love, my life, always, forever. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, you are the loaf I need. You are the air I breathe. You are my loaf, my life, always, forever. I will lay down my life just to be by your side. You are my love, my life, always, forever. Always, forever.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you both so much. Assam, thank you for that word of encouragement. I think it's very timely for us to know that we're not alone in this time, in this season, and that we have a God who is so much bigger and so much stronger than anything and everything else. And although sometimes I may want God to do things a certain way, sometimes he will allow the fiery furnace to be the instrument that removes the bonds off of my life. And I need to be okay with that, because he's a wise God and he's an all-knowing God and all-compassionate God. And so we just need to trust him in that regard. So again, thank you for that word of encouragement. God bless you. Is it possible, Pastor Mike, you can pray us out, sir?
Sure thing. Heavenly Father, we give you all honor and all glory, Lord, and we thank you, Lord. Your name, Jesus, is the name above every other name, Lord, and I just speak your name over everyone here, Lord, every family represented here, Lord, every home, Lord, your name, Jesus, Father God, you bring what we need, Lord, you meet us where we're at, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for that, Lord. So I just speak your name, your love, your power, your grace, your mercy, your comfort, your healing touch, Father. Lord, you know exactly what is needed, Lord, and I just thank you once again for your word. I thank you for my brother, Lord. Father God, I just speak your blessings over everyone, Lord. We just thank you. We give you all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, thank you, Assam. Thank you, Robin. Thank you for everyone who's working behind the scenes to help out in some way. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. We're still in chapter. Are we in chapter two still? In Esther? Three?
Three.
All right. We're in chapter three. Sorry. I'm still stuck in chapter two myself. But we're in chapter three. So make sure you read up on that before we get together again on Wednesday. And with that, God bless you. Enjoy a wonderful, wonderful afternoon.
All right. Have a good week.